Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, it's the appropriate time, I think, to talk about Rosie the Riveter. There have been several things related to Memorial Day, which is just passed, that relates to Rosie. And also, part of the reason I'm talking about this, I guess, because I have a shirt that has that iconic image of Rosie the Riveter, We Can Do It. And, of course, a number of people, depending on their age, recognize Rosie, know the story. There are a lot of younger people who don't pay any attention, have no idea that it really was a very important image during World War II. And there are actually two images, and the one I have is the one that says, We Can Do It. It's not the one that appeared on the Saturday Evening Post. But in 1942, J. Howard Miller was hired by the Westinghouse Company's War Production Coordinating Committee to create a series of posters for the war effort. And one of these was the famous We Can Do It image. And later it was called Rosie the Riveter, although at that time it was never called that. It was based on We Can Do It. It's based on a poster, United Press International Wire Service photograph taken of Ann Arbor, Michigan factory worker Geraldine Hoff, who was 17 and briefly working as a metal stamping machine operator. And the intent of the poster was to keep production up by boosting morale, not to recruit more women workers. It was shown only to Westinghouse employees in the Midwest during a two-week period in February 1943, and then disappeared for nearly four decades. During the war, the name Rosie was not associated with the image, and it was not about women's empowerment. It was only later in the 1980s that the Miller poster was rediscovered and became famous. The other image is the one that was shown to many more people, much more widely publicized, because it was on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post on Memorial Day, May 29th, 1943. And it featured this brawny woman taking her lunch break. She has a sandwich in one hand while a rivet gun lays on her lap. But she's wearing penny loafers, not heavy-duty work shoes. And it's on her foot is on a copy of Hitler's manifesto, Mein Kampf. Her lunch pail reads Rosie, and viewers quickly recognize this to be Rosie the Riveter from the familiar song. So actually the song came first before these images were done. Rockwell, of course, was America's best-known popular illustrator of the day and posed his model to match the Sistine Chapel ceiling image of the prophet Isaiah painted by Michelangelo in 1509. Rockwell's model was a Vermont resident, 19-year-old Mary Doyle, who was a telephone operator near where Rockwell lived and not a riveter. And Rockwell painted his Rosie as a larger woman than his model, and he later phoned her to apologize. The post cover image proved hugely popular, and the magazine loaned it to the U.S. Treasury Department for the duration of the war for use in war bond drives. And it actually increased the circulation of the Saturday Evening Post. So it was a very powerful image and had lots of messages to go with it. Well, of course, this all started that shocking Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, as Japanese warplanes attacked America's Hickam Field in Hawaii. So with American men enlisting in the war effort, the workforce quickly diminished. Who would man the assembly lines in the factories to produce the many needed items for the current war? Well, filling a gross shortage of manpower through the factory gates flooded an army of women power. Mothers, daughters, secretaries, wives, and even schoolgirls picked up the factory duties that the men had left behind. Continual appeals were issued from government sources throughout the war, with articles and ads placed in magazines to get women's attention. Such titles as Women, You Could Hasten Victory by Working and Saving Your Man abounded. The magazine War Guide recommended all published magazines participate in a Women at War promotion to emphasize not only defense and factory work, but all kinds of employment opportunities for women. One of the many slogans used was, "The more women at work, the sooner we win." So more than 6 million female workers helped to build planes, bombs, tanks, and other weapons that would eventually win World War II. They stepped up to the plate without hesitation and gave up their domestic jobs to accomplish things that only men had done before them. They became streetcar drivers, operated heavy construction machinery, worked in lumber and steel mills, unloaded freight, and most any job you can name. Proving that they could do the jobs known as men's work created an entirely new image of women in American society and set the stage for upcoming generations. What changes did this war wrought in our family life? Every day, the women, both young and old, would punch into work at the shipyards, factories, and munitions plants across America. During the war, the women increased the workforce by 50%. Racial barriers were broken in various minority members because they went to work. And coming from all walks of life, there were those that were ready to switch to these higher-paying defense jobs, although the women were paid only 60% of what the men had been paid doing those same jobs. And other women who had been working in the workforce before all of this got higher-paying jobs and went on to other jobs that had been lost due to the Depression. So women worked in all kinds of jobs, not just Rosie the Riveter jobs. So what did that mean? All of these women going to work? Well, the phenomenon changed American child care. The centers emerged all over the country, and most of the centers were built adjacent to the plants for the family's convenience. The women who used to stay at home with the children now were not only able to work for their country, but were given the opportunity to earn their own way in the world. They were hardworking individuals, and that fact shed a new light on America as a whole. In 1942, women were being urged to take advantage of any technical training to better prepare themselves to replace the men now in uniform. They would perform not only patriotic duty, but they would help themselves financially. In some areas, women took the lead to accomplish certain tasks to support the nation's war effort. There was a huge new opportunity to work for the American Red Cross. So women not only learned basic first aid techniques, but they also were on call as a volunteer at the USO, and that was considered to be an honor. Eleanor Roosevelt toured the factories and came away in awe of the new workforce. She heard countless success stories and was quoted as saying, "I hardly saw a man who did not speak to me about the need for women in the production." Many women reported that they felt patriotic and they wanted to support their country, and that the money came second. It gave them endless pride to know that they were doing something to help win the war. Rosie the Riveter's first mention was in the song we mentioned before, that this song caught on across America as the lyrics told a true story. One line of the song goes, "That little frail girl can do more than a man can do." Some women were actually better at certain tasks than men. Well, as I mentioned, they were paid less than the men had been paid. One of the promotions said that if you can run an electric mixer, you can run a riveter. You can learn these other skills. I think it's kind of an interesting comparison. Now, a real-life Rosie brought this character to life. Her name was Rose Will Monroe. And the Hollywood star Walter Pidgeon was touring the Ford Motor Company aircraft assembly plant when he met Monroe. And on his recommendation, she starred as herself in a government film promoting the war. So then came the images that we've talked about, the Saturday Evening Post cover, and that cover made the circulation nearly double. Shortly thereafter, stories appeared in the press about yet another real-life Rosie, and her name was Rose Hicker, employed at the Eastern Aircraft Company in New York. She and her work partner had driven a record number of rivets into the wing of a bomber, and as the story goes, as the Rosie evolved across the country. Both real and legendary Rosies were depicted in the press, celebrated in song, and produced in Broadway plays and movies. So there is also a National Historical, in the National Historical Park located in Richmond, California, is a memorial honoring American women's labor during World War II. So when you see that iconic poster, if you see it, either the Saturday Evening Post or maybe you'll see me in my We Can Do It shirt, remember that Rosie the Riveter was representing all of the American women who added to the World War victory. And until next time, here's a thought. Friendship can move even the heaviest hearts to sing.